Father's Day. Wow. We get a day. And I was listening to something on Facebook. I didn't finish it up because it wasn't exactly glorifying fathers in any way. But it said that we didn't deserve a day. We didn't do this. We didn't do that. And I said, you know, we had those 11 things that we're wanting to start accomplishing. And the second one was a life coach. So we agreed that we could be life coaches. And when you start to be a life coach is now, you know, because you had made that declaration, I'm a life coach. And I really believe that God is really challenging us to see people in need and become a life coach to them. And whether that be in your congregation where you see people are struggling in any way, shape, or form, you can say, hey, you know what? I'm going to be a life coach to that person. And in other words, then you probably make a special effort to call them during the week and say, hey, you know, and this could happen with the kids, you know, I mean, hey, you can be a life coach. And usually what happens, the first day that you believe, you might not be qualified to be a life coach. But maybe the fifth day, you could be a life coach to say, hey, something happened to me in that meeting. That's why I gave my life to Christ. And you can do it also. Amen? And so on this Father's Day, I think that it's real important that we just take a look how important God thinks fatherhood is. And as we were singing these songs, it was talking all about identification. You know, the Father, and then bringing it back to us as sons and daughters. And how we change into something completely different when we make that commitment to Christ. And maybe it's, he'd always said this in communion, bring this to remembrance. Bring this thought to remembrance. And we were working on 11 things, bringing 11 thoughts to remembrance. And the first one was repentance. You know, is repentance important? I think it's massively important. And when we say, sorry, God, I didn't do it your way, what happens? One of the words this year is alignment. Okay? So if you're here, and if you're on a railroad track, not so difficult if you're on the same track. But we have to come in alignment with saying, God, I'm wrong, you're right, and that settles it. Amen? And so what we've done is we've aligned. We've said, hey, this is my direction. This is how I'm going to go. And your life begins to change. Now, when you start out the Christian walk, and in you know the first 3 weeks, you go, wow, how in the world am I going to, you know, capture all the Christian lingo and try to make sense out of it? And you know, but 3 months later, you've heard enough, and you can even get by with the Christian lingo, so to speak, you know. And that's not always good, because I kind of like to keep a conversation that makes sense to the world that we live in. You know, they're looking for change. They're looking for renewal. They're looking for love. And their identification isn't found in planet Earth in any dimension. And all of a sudden, you come in alignment with Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth, something happens and you become aligned and he begins to change your life. We were talking about baptism. Okay, baptism is identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Okay, identification. We're going back to the Father. He's a good Father. He's a good God. Amen? He's a good God. All the time, he's a good God. And then it went into saying, and I am a child of this good God. Identification. You see, when we say yes and amen, we're not identifying with anything else but Jesus Christ, his kingdom, his Father, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we've been crucified. We've been crucified, buried, and resurrected. We came out of the water of the world, and now we're resurrected. And as men of God, I think we're challenged in those realms. There's a DNA on the inside of us that screams God. And even the seed that comes through the man is actually identifying the child. It's not the woman that identifies the child, it's the man that identifies the child. And so it's this beautiful, great partnership that God has put together. So men and women in kingdom thought is the most powerful thing on the earth. Because we've found ourselves, we've identified ourselves, and whether you know it or not, that child, as a mother and father, that child is going to identify, or the seed came from the father. Right? Okay, let's take it this way. We are the bride of Christ, so we, us guys, drop down to the feminine realm. Our submission to God is so very, very important. And men, that's an area that they have problems with. And if they have problems with that, then they have problems with many, many different things. And I named five things that I think that men of God that are going to succeed, these five things are very, very important in your life. And the first thing is to be a protector. You know, and like I said, DNA in a person's life is we are protectors of the bride. My wife, my family, my children, I protect them. From the very beginning I had a child or a wife, I protect her. In fact, we made almost like covenant vows that we would never expose each other to public. We'd deal with that behind closed doors. And we've tried to keep that, and pretty soon you get a trust built with that. And I really believe that's who our Father God is. Amen? And men, we need to be protectors of the bride. We need to be protectors of the women in our lives or in the congregation. We need to protect that, and it brings great security. It brings great thought of saying no harm is going to come. You know, like if you were expecting a robber tonight, and there are literally hundreds and thousands of robbers in this world, you're looking at your children, I'm not going to let this world rob my children. And so when you become a protector like that, the world knows that you're going to stand up and you're going to say, hey, you're not going to say that about my son, you're not going to say that about my daughter, you're not going to say that because I'm protector. I'm the guy that has this given to me from God, and I'll protect it. Sometimes in school systems, children get lost in their identity, and if the teacher is not very careful, they are looking at the behavior of the child instead of who they really are. You know, who is that child? And dads, that's our place to protect. That's our place to stand up and say, hey, you know what? That's my son, that's my daughter. He might not, or she might not be perfect, but I'm standing with him. And I'm standing with her, and I'm going to identify, my voice will identify and bring identification to that son or daughter. So, men, we need to be protectors of the bride. Any enemy situations that come in, we take spiritual authority right away. We just say, hey, you know what? You're not coming in here. You're not going to be bossing me around. You're not telling me that. For me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That's our DNA. That's the way God is. And throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, if you messed with God or his children, you were in big trouble. And if you were a king and did not follow that way of kingship for God, you were in big trouble. And it's interesting, the kings of the earth back in the Old Testament, there was ones that said that they served the Lord, and their age span for, like, you know, it was 25 years they served because they were doing the things that God had told them to do. And I think that's our challenge in the world today. Everyone's telling everyone what to do, and it's not working. God works. Amen? So we need to be protectors of the bride. Okay, so with that, let's say it. I will be a protector. Okay, now that was our practice run. Let's try it again. I will be a protector.
I will be a protector.
That feels pretty good. All right. Okay, let's say it one more time just to get it going. I will be a protector. Yeah, there's something in that that's pretty cool. Hallelujah. Young men, when you go to school and you see anyone being picked on, especially a girl, what do we got? Do not beat up the other person, but you will protect the area, because that's the alignment of God. Identification comes from the seat of God. And if you're a child of God, then we stand up for our family and we'll protect it. All the way through the Old Testament, you think about Israel. I don't care what they did, how messed up they were, if they repented, who came back to them? The Father. And that was pretty much the word from the prophet this morning. What was the word? I mean, if you could sum that up, Jeff, what would be the word? The inexhaustible love of God. God's not, he's not mad at you. He's not throwing you to the side. Fathers, it isn't like we've done a perfect job all of the time, but our Father's with us. And if you're willing to press in and press on, God will show up and it'll be a great thing. Secondly, we need to be, as men and women of God, I will be a provider. I will be a provider. And what does that mean? Of course, right away we think, well, we're going to have to go out and make a lot of money. No, maybe some of the greatest things that we could provide for our sons and daughters and for our wife is showing some wisdom. Maybe the first thing that we can say, God has given us an opportunity to be a wise person. Sometimes we're wanting to run away from that because we don't identify ourselves as people of wisdom. And I just want to take that away, because in the book of, in the New Testament, we find out that after the disciples went through this rigid program with God being their pastor and God being their shepherd through Jesus Christ, they said they were ignorant and unlearned men, even after they went through this great school with God. But one thing they identified with is that they were and had been with Jesus. When you're with Jesus, you're aligning, and the wisdom of God comes out, and dads, moms, with the wisdom of God, we can lead our family into tremendous victory. We can break the powers of curses over our life. We can break the power because we're aligning up with God. We're not over here anymore. We're here. And we're children, and we're the Israel of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. How about friendship? Well, I'm going to discipline that son when he comes home, or daughter. What about being a friend to your son or daughter? Isn't it interesting when they grow up, in my stage of life, my children aren't children anymore, they become your best friends. And that should be the way it is. They should become your best friend, because you're dealing with relationships, and friendship is very, very important and not very easy to have. In this world that we live in, friendships, when the rubber meets the road, you're saying, well, who is my friend? Do I have friends? We could have business associates. We could have people that we've worked for. We could have all those things. But do you have a friend? Well, I can tell you this much, aligning up with Jesus, you have a friend. Amen? And so as dads, we should be friends with our kids. We should show ourselves with our wives that's my old lady. No. That's not my old lady. That's my wife. That's the bride of my youth. That's the woman that I've loved from the very beginning. When you start doing this, you're really just saying, I'm lining up, because God said he's a good, good God. And then we come back and I'm a child of God. And in identification, we begin to be like God. You say, oh, now you're gods. Well, if we're following the Father, we'll begin to look like the Father. Amen? And so when we hear negativity, a constant negativity, we're really out of line, and we're saying yes, no, maybe, maybe, yes, no, no, I don't think so. And really God says yes and amen. And there's no in God if you obey God, right? But if you don't obey him, you're going to be going, no, yes, yeah, maybe, could be. But as fathers, we need to be providers of this type of wisdom and this type of understanding. Of course, we look at, we should be additions to young people's lives and to in a family setup, we should be kind of the spark plug of the whole deal. You know, honey, why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? Honey, why don't you do that? And this was a video I seen yesterday. The guy, he didn't like football, he didn't like basketball, he didn't like TV, but after it was all said and done, he went in to the laundry room. The wife had about three kids, had all sorts of clothing that she was folding, and he said, can I help you? And she missed it. She said, no, that's all right, just go look at the ball game. And he said, I don't even like ball. I don't even like football. And so sometimes we just, you know, it's out of line. Instead of working together as a team player in every aspect of our lives, that's real important. Then we become providers, not only for the family, but we become providers like God's provider to us. We call upon the name of the Lord, things start happening. Amen. I'd like to just, you know, I love to talk about tithing. Why? Is because I've had such amazing things when you needed something and it was impossible to get on the salary that you were making and this and that. I remember Marlo Motors in Burgess, Minnesota, and we were needing another car, okay? And so this was the week we had an opportunity. I don't remember, I think it was a Lowell Lundstrom crusade, and we had an opportunity challenge that we would give $1,000. Now back in 1980, $1,000 seemed like a tremendous, tremendous amount of money. And just getting saved, it was really, felt like it was tremendous. But we completed that vow. In 1 week's time, I met Marlo. We put in a floor, a big shop floor for him. He didn't have the money, but he had the cars. It was Marlin Motors. He had the cars, and he had a car there that I wanted. And so what we did, we switched the labor. I got the car, and because we were obedient to place that $1,000 into the ministry, I really believe that God moved on our behalf. And time after time after time, God would do stuff like that in business-relating things and different things. We cannot forget those times as providers. And I think why we forget them is we say, well, you know, that was then and this is now. I'm talking about a now God today. You know, if you determine in your heart you're going to do something and you get together with a whole bunch of other people and you say, this is what we're going to do, it'll get done. Because we start asking the Lord, we get aligned with him, and things start happening. So we need provision. Then the area of looking at our sons and daughters and wives, we need to give, as fathers, we need to give promotion. You know, like when you're a promoter, Jeff, oh, your girls are around here. There's one, but okay. When I looked at Jeff's family, all the girls and the guys, I say, these guys look like they're going to be promoted. I'm always talking with them, and Jeff, really, I mean, he's a little tough on them, but he's always trying to promote them. He's always trying to bring them into line. And whoever you are as a father or mother, you're wanting to promote your family, right? Hopefully. You know, dads, moms, there isn't any greater promoter than fathers and mothers. And if you don't do it, you're going to miss something very, very important. And it's so important that if you miss it, you'll be out of alignment in that position. And so when they come in to job situations and stuff like that, if they've never been promoted, it won't happen for them. Have you ever run into people or anyone like that besides yourself? Yeah, so it's real important that we are promoting our husbands, our wives, our children, so that we can fight the good fight in prayer and intercession. You know, women and men, they got a little different deal going. Men, when they pray, the women doesn't even realize that they've prayed. And when the women pray, when the women have a prayer meeting, you know that they're praying. You're hearing them travail and in intercession and, you know, casting out this and that. And usually what the men said, well, God, I need $1,000 for next week on Tuesday. You know, and the women going, is that a prayer? Well, that's the way men pray. You know, it's like, okay, we're going to go over and we're going to do this, and then that's going to do it. And you're going, well, men are different in their prayers. And we always kind of like to go back, make sure it's a prayer, not a complaint. But when you're needing $1,000, you're going to go, hey, God, I need $1,000. More times than not, if it's a prayer, God will answer that prayer. Amen? And so I think about the spirit of intercession. Thank God for intercessors. And I think mothers are intercessors to the family unit, to the husband, to the whole area in aligning this thing up so everything is cool, you know? So it's real important that we promote and give time to our kids and to our wife to promote them. You know, probably in the ministry they say that the wives usually are the ones that break down first, because the men, if it's a pastor or in a fivefold area, they're always being patted on the back, you know. But the wife also is hearing all of the negativity that's going on, saying, well, the pastor should have did this, or the minister should have did that, or should have did this. We need to promote each other. Amen? We need to stand together, because we are the Meshmakah, or the, you remember the word Meshmakah? The clan of God. And the 12 tribes, those 12 tribes, when they come together, there was nothing that could stop them. You got a leader like Nehemiah. The power of Nehemiah was to gather the Meshmakah, or the clans of God, and they took on the enemies, and the enemies, they were shut down. You know, the Tobias and the Geshams, and in the book of Nehemiah, the Sanballats were shut down. We can shut the enemy down if we come into agreement with God. Amen. And so, why not have a program for ourselves and for others for 1 year's time? How many people read that sheet of paper, them 11 things? Do you have any more left? Okay. All right. Well, I'm challenging us that we're not only going to read them, but we're going to actually do them. And we're going to get one person or two people that you're going to say, hey, I'm going to make sure that I make connection with these people. Maybe at work. Have you got anyone at work that probably could use a little alignment in their life, like God would come in and really change their life? So how will they ever line up to that unless we do something about it? We are the body of Christ. We are the identification from fathers to children, and this is what God said, that I would not have anyone to be lost. Not one. He'd want every person on planet Earth. That's pretty powerful. I must have really been hitting a point there. That was a high point. Or a low point, yeah. Okay, so we got provider, we got promoter. Man, I want to promote the body of Christ. I want to promote Spencer over there. I like Spencer. Jamie, I really like Spencer and Jamie. Are they different than me? Yes, that's what makes it so special. That's what makes them so special. Bethany, I want to promote. Jeff, I want to promote. My family, I want to promote. Because what happens is, in promotion, we start feeling good about each other. Hey, guess what, son? Guess what, daughter? You're more than a conqueror. I don't know in any place where God is making a proclamation that it's a down deal. He never calls you, you know, what Dar Smith would say, you know, slime ball for Jesus. I don't think I've ever read that in the... But sometimes we take our identification, and that's what the world has placed upon us. If you don't have the new this, if you don't have this, if you don't have this, then you're in another identification that is not lining up, and so you didn't make the grade. But when you get a hold of God, God's saying, guess what? When you line up with me, you will be on top and not behind. You'll be the head and not the tail. You'll be more than a conqueror. You'll have great strength and ability to ward off any enemy, because there's a fight on the inside of us that I will not settle for anything less than being the man of God on planet Earth. And I will fight for my kids. I will fight for my wife. I'll give up everything that I can, because the DNA of God lives on the inside of me as a one that will be a promoter. Amen? Okay. Okay, then we look at the area. The fourth one was a priest. Now, how many people consider themselves a priest here? Yeah. Well, we're supposed to be a priest to our home. And so when we come in those priestly duties, we're bringing spiritual understanding into natural realms. Our kids need to know that God is doing something in their life. And so when they look at fatherhood, they take a look at us and they say, yeah, man, I want to be like my dad. Why? Because he's not only being a friend, he's not only being all of those things, but he has the spiritual edge of things and knowing that God is very, very important in it. What would prayer be, and even praying for, if you didn't believe that God was going to do it? And so our prayer lives are very, very important, that as priests, that we need to pray things into existence. You know, if you see your son, you see your daughter failing and falling and tripping, and what are you going to do? I'm going to stand up. I'm the priest of this place, and this is the way it's going to go. And so you many times have to drag back what's going to happen to bring alignment to God. And when you get this alignment, you're going to start seeing the blessings of God every day, every hour in your life. And headship, whether it be man or woman, this is what it's all about. It's not all about men doing all of those things. It's because we are teamed up. We are submitted to God. And so we start the team and things start working out pretty, pretty good. Amen? I like that. And so I'm a priest to my home. just talking about prayer is so very, very important, that God's wanting us to be a company of believers to pray. I was just thinking about where it says, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and call on me, I will. You know, I will do it then. So there's a place there that if we don't do that, then we're not going to get the action that we're wanting. When we say, hey, I'm going to pray, I'm going to humble myself, I'm going to believe that God's going to move on our behalf, and we're going to see this thing just blow up in a great way. And I will fight the good fight of faith. And if there's demons, if there's devils around, I'm going to take spiritual authority. You say, well, that doesn't go on in the day that we live. Every day, you're going to run into a demonic thing that you can deal with like this. You can say, I'm not going to deal with it. Or you can deal with it like this. I'm going to pray, and by this afternoon, that whole thing's going to turn around. Guys, I don't know. When I run into a mean farmer or a mean client, and you know they're mean, I start praying. I don't display. I don't get mad. I said, no, that's not... You start praying, and it's just unbelievable how God will bring that thing in alignment. And I don't usually go on a job and say, well, I'm a pastor. I don't do that. I like it because they will commit things in their conversation. About, you know, Donald Trump says in 1 minute, I'll know how to deal with the guy from Korea. 1 minute. And you know, it sounds arrogant, but you know what? You run into a person in 1 minute's time, you can almost say, that guy is going to be a pain in the rear end. You know, I mean, if Donald can do it, we should be able to do it. He must be lining up with something that's working for him. But I really believe that God works. And I believe that if we would take these things, these five things, we're on number four, but these five things, it would change your life forever. And then we become clansmen. Maybe, I don't know what clan you're, if you're in the tribe of Benjamin and somebody else is in the tribe of Judah and somebody else is in the tribe of Dan, we all belong in the same nation, Israel, the Israel of God. So our clans come together, and then the enemy forces, in the Old Testament, this was happening constantly. And if they got if Israel got off, it was like this: here's God, here's Israel, here's God. They're not doing the deal. As soon as Israel went like this, he'd come back just like that. And no other tribe was, you know, lining themselves up with this God of heaven and earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so when they did, God would show up. Church, when we align ourselves with God, good things are going to happen. There's going to be a mighty move of the power of the Holy Spirit. If we start confessing with our mouth, believing in our heart, things are going to be powerfully different from this day forth. But then you have to accept the change. The first day that I believed, the change was coming. Now, it didn't happen in 10 hours or 15 hours. The change took a month, 2 months, 3 months. I remember my VFW buddies, they said, you'll be back. And 3 months later, they said, I don't think Jake's coming back. And so, you know what? When you line up with God, he starts pouring out the blessings of the Lord. You start seeing miracles, signs, and wonders. Last one, again, that we need to be a prophet to our children in our home. I will be a prophet in my home. You'd say, well, gee, you know, I come in for a nice message and I wanted to hear something. I didn't think I was going to be a prophet. Well, you have to be a prophet in your home. And how can you prophesy to your children? You can go to the scriptures. You could write down 10 scriptures in the Bible, write them down and read them over your kids. You know, you are more than a conqueror. Do you know that great strength and power is available to you? And that's who you are. You're going to succeed in everything that you do in your life. Dads, when you start being that prophet to your sons, you are going to be a great soccer player. You're going to be a great basketball player, whatever that means in their eyes. It might be on the JV team. But you start encouraging them and giving them words of the prophetic. Not what they're looking like, not what they're performing at, but you start speaking into the existence of what their dreams are all about. And then discovering their dreams. You say, well, I think my son or daughter is going to be this. Well, discover who they are. Isn't that what Pastor Tom is doing in the back room? We have prophetic things, prophetic words spoken over the kids by one of the better prophets. I don't want to, well, when Bill Johnson calls David the best prophet in the world, I said, well, I guess I'm not going to fight it. But you know what? He comes here, he pours out prophetic words over your kids. And how much do we work with that prophetic word? It changed our life forever. I mean, wow. Hadassah, I mean, what kind of words did she get? That was so powerful. I know that Andy and Tirsa is going to take and say, I'm going to work those words because these are the words that God spoke over her life. You know, that's what it's all about. It's not so difficult. And I do like to say it's yes and amen. Because if we're obedient to what God is doing and what he's saying, it's yes and amen. And you become a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that you do. That takes some boldness. You'd say, well, when's that going to happen? Well, it could have happened in praise and worship this morning. You'd say, well, how could that happen? Well, what does God say about praise and worship? Okay, he says that when we pray, when we worship, we bring up holy hands, we show ourselves that we're loving God, and sometimes we have to cut off or try to cut off the things that are trying to hold us back from becoming all of that. Amen? And I found out very early in my Christian life, if I just said, if I lift up my hands, and that was very difficult for probably a month, to literally lift up your hands, and then it took another month to get rid of the intimidation of somebody might be looking at me. But if everyone was lifting up holy hands and worshiping God, they wouldn't be looking at you, right? And so what happens, you create this spiritual heavenly realm that you got connection with God the Father, and you're connecting with Him. Things start happening in the service. We start seeing miracles. We start seeing healings. We start seeing, I just heard it this morning, this is a healing place. This is a place that God dwells. And if God dwells here, there's going to be some good things that happen. Amen. Would you please stand? If you want to. How many people have any type of ailments in their body? Are sick in any way in their body? Some soreness or anything? Just lift your hand real high. Okay, then I'm going to ask, how many people know someone that is needing a healing or needing a touch from God? How many, you got anyone? So does it cover almost all of us? Okay, I pray for myself quite a bit because I got some aches and pains in the morning especially. All right, well, let's pray together. We're going to call this a healing place. Hallelujah. Why don't somebody just lead out? Just go ahead and speak the person's name even if you want to. Go ahead. Caitlin, I've got you. You're the first one. Breaker Ministry. Pray for Pastor Jake if you don't have one. I'm picking on you, girl. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the power of healing. You said this is a healing place in this room when we step in. There's a healing place. This is how you pray. When you drive in on this land, there's angels on the left side and the right side. When you drive in, you invite a friend that is needing a touch from God. Right now, Lord, there's different things that are going on. The touch of God, because you're believing. Moms are being healed right now. Hallelujah. Wade, something's going on. We're wanting something to happen that goes beyond the natural realm, that goes to the spiritual identification of alignment with God. Hallelujah. Paulette, we just believe right now she's healed. She's whole in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We look at emotional areas, hurts in emotional areas. God, get people's hearts and put the salve of God upon their heart. God, we release the power of angelical visitation to heal. We pray for Jacob right now. God, I've seen in the Bible many times. God, I thank you, Lord, for healing his eyes. Miracles right now in Jesus' name. It's a yes and an amen. Why not? Wow. Our kids are great and mighty on the earth. God, we are the protector of the bride. And I will protect. And I'll believe in the provisions of God in each person's life. I'll be a promoter. And I'll be a priest in the house of the Lord. And I'll be a prophet in my family. I'll prophesy over my kids. I'll prophesy the goodness of God over everything. Because you're a good, good God. You're a good, good God. And we are your children. And that makes us good, good children. We've been formed and fashioned and identified with God the Father. We release it upon each person right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Why don't you just touch that person next to you right now in Jesus' name? If they have any ailments, be healed. But even beyond that, when you start calling on the name of Jesus, even this week, bringing to remembrance an aunt, an uncle, a friend, and say, in Jesus' name, be healed, be made whole. Father, we release this upon this body, and for this time and season, Lord, that the reality of God will come upon all of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Happy Father's Day. You have something going there, buddy?
Thank you, Jesus. Today, we just want to do something fun to end up. It was. Pastor Jake already did something that was fun. But I believe in protecting the family. I believe in being the provider. All those things that Pastor Jake spoke this morning are important to all of us. I believe in the Second Amendment to our Constitution that allows us to bear arms. I believe in that firmly. Now, some of you might not, and that's okay. I don't care. Okay? I do. So this morning, Webster, I'm getting myself in trouble probably, yes. Webster and Jeff have a couple pieces of paper. And everybody that's 18 or older, you can put your name on it. Women, you can put yours in that bowl. Men, you can put yours in this bowl. And I want you to guess how many people in community church have permits to carry or are carrying. There was one person that said, I thought you were going to have somebody guess how many guns I'm carrying with me this morning. But I had a conversation with my children, with my one daughter and my wife, and they said, Dad, you just can't do that. You just can't do that. So, all right. So, Webster and Jeff, if you guys haven't signed up, do it. Okay? Anybody that's 18 or older, get a piece of paper, put it in the bowl. Women, you get roses. Men, you get, well, I'm sorry, Jamie, okay? I'm sorry. Jamie wants to put her name in the men's bowl because there's certificates to Hunter Outlet. All right. So if anybody hasn't put their name in the bowl yet, do so. Because there's more women that are older that are here. The women are probably...